You can't discern your source of income. You're reassembling your career. You've become so myopic that you don't even know where your notebook is. Perhaps it's time to tune in to the Take Note podcast. I am Adam Webb.
I'm Ted Walker.
Ted, how are you?
I'm good. I'm about to put together a go bag and come and give you some kind of stationary intervention. When you don't know where your notebook is, things are going topsy-turvy.
Haven't written in the damn thing in weeks.
Well, I happen to know it's all voluntary, so pity not the poor entrepreneur as he lights out upon a new career venture. That would be you, while I enjoy my extraordinarily stable nonprofit job and collect my salary and my health insurance every month.
Oh, you have health insurance, you say?
But congratulations on your giant leap out into the void.
Everything will be great for me eventually.
So what do you got this week, Adam? I'm excited to talk to you.
Ted, I was flying back from California last week. There was a woman directly behind me on the plane. She was talking to a stranger, and she was weeping about her grandmother who had just died. But this story's going to get very funny. Because she was also weeping about her friend who died last year in a helicopter accident. And then she was occasionally telling the stranger to her, who was totally into it, how he looked much older than his age. In the middle of the... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, it was when she did the sound effects of the crashing helicopter. I feel like that was excessive. Yeah.
Let me be clear. This 50-year-old lady was a little flirty towards this 20-year-old guy. And like I said, totally into it.
Was she convincing him that he looked just not a hair over 50?
She was like, oh, you look older, but it suits you. In the middle of their conversation, she interrupted him because she had just texted the wrong Chuck. Then the woman who's supposed to be in the middle seat comes by, and she goes, oh, I'm in the middle. And under my breath, I say, good luck. And, but it gets better. The annoying lady says to this new person, she goes, do you want the aisle seat? That's where this guy is sitting, who she's talking to. And she moves the guy who she's been talking to into the middle seat. And
wow.
I thought he was going to be furious, but he goes, I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, my God. Wow, they really hit it off.
Oh,
and here you
goodness.
Are cynically scribbling notes about every...
Yep.
Every turn of phrase.
At one point, he says to her that he's a journalist, but he wasn't. He was just in J school. And he goes, she goes, oh, so you're smart. And he says, well, I'd like to think so, but that's for other people to say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Were you able to slam your head through the window sufficiently to actually crack through the porthole and...
Yeah.
Leap out.
I was ready to lose it. At that point, some cool Israelis in camouflage sat next to me. Wow. He starts talking about the fact that his parents were never married. They had him when he was in high school, or when they were in high school, and then they split up. He says he lived with his mom, which wasn't such a great idea. She asked him what he does. Again, he'd already said that he was a journalist, and he explains that... he's a journalism student, but he's functioning as a journalist. And then he begins to explain that he gets paid by clicks for a site that doesn't have enough readers. She says, when I was young, news was news. he has a lot of opinions about the media. At one point he says, I just want to cover stuff. It's just something I'm good at. The woman in front of me, so now two rows in front of them, she looks back, she sees me, I start laughing, she's cracking up. He announces that he's always been into TED Talks and stuff.
Okay.
Then we get two aisles up. You know, it's hard to be mad at a person going to a funeral, but she made it really easy.
So, all right, from a notebook perspective, I'd like to imagine in my mind's eye that you stumbled into using a pencil, so as you're furiously transcribing this interaction, you're constantly having to sharpen and you know and then return to furiously scribbling like Woodward and Bernstein. But what was your note-taking technique as this was all unfolding and you wanted to capture every second of it?
I was texting it all to my friend Gabi. That's what I'm reading from. Including when he says, "My mom uses people as bargaining chips."
Oh my god.
And then at that point, my friend Gabi, so two things. All of this is in the lead up to the flight taking off. Second, this is a red eye flight, so it's midnight. And my friend Gabi basically dares me to stare them down expressionlessly. And I, you know me, that's right up my alley. So I,
well, it's a, you can't back down from a challenge like that.
Somebody had to do it.
By which I mean literally you right. personally can't back nope. down from a challenge.
I can't. So I stared them down and the guy goes, "Are we bothering you?" At which point I just started laughing and I said, "You're bothering so many people."
Oh my god.
It was true. Yep. What do you got, Ted?
You are a gem. Okay, I've got my field notes, craft graph paper here. One of us has to use actual pen and paper on the podcast, right? That's kind of the premise of the deal.
I'll be back to it next week.
The title at the top of the page, things that happened on a Sunday night starting at 10 p.m. after a long weekend out in the country. So we just come back. So it's a bulleted list. May came out at 10 p.m., which for us is a shocking affair. We're pretty stern about our bedtimes. The fridge stopped being cold.
Ooh.
A rat ran across the living room floor.
Like a Ratatouille type?
Like a rat. Okay. Yeah, we sent the dog into the living room. I raced to the store to buy every sort of death-delivering rat trap I could possibly find in that section of the grocery store. It's now, I'd say, 10:45. While I was at the grocery store, the rat ran into the TV room where Caroline was watching TV and ran under the couch. She gave me some real-time text updates. Next bullet point, we locked the rat in with every variety of rat killing available on the market. We had some sticky traps. This is all in our little TV room. Sticky traps, snap traps with peanut butter, two different kinds of snap traps. Put some poison out. This was all in one small room. Let's see. At about 11:30, I was on the floor sweeping lint out from under the refrigerator. After doing some Googling.
You were getting on the floor in a rat situation?
Different room.
Okay.
But this was returning to the fridge not being cold. Got it. Scenario anymore. Finally got to bed at 1:45 a.m. I'm awakened by my wife saying, "I hear a woman's voice saying something." And I'm like, "I don't." She said, "No, a woman's robot voice said something." And then we hear
Was it the smoke maid detector. From the Jetsons?
The smoke detector had a robot voice saying, "Your battery is running low." Oh. And then it proceeded to beep extraordinarily loudly in the hallway directly outside the children's bedroom. So I proceeded to take the smoke detector down in the dark, take it into the kitchen where it continued to beep, and was unable to pull out the battery slot that held the batteries. So I had to furiously find a YouTube video on how to take out the batteries on this particular smoke detector. And then after that, I got to peacefully drift off into sleep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's the end of my bulleted list. So that's what I got.
The robot lady should have said, "There is a rat under your couch. There is a rat under your couch."
I wish I could have been so... I mean, you get... When that happens, every creak you hear is infused with meaning. you can never see these things or find them. So you never, we didn't actually, we thought it was still there the next day at the end of the day. And I was still in the room lifting couches. I just didn't know. Turns out it was, had been probably long gone. Oh, but the paranoia, it's awful. What else you got, Adam?
Well, a couple of things on the subject of your fiasco of a night. First off, in my house, I don't deal with any of the gross stuff. Mouse traps, anything like that, my wife handles it. I just can't. And it occurred to me right now that perhaps the first time we ever had a mouse was in an apartment in Boston. And I used to see the mouse because I'd stay up late at night. And Jennifer thought that I was imagining a mouse. And then we learned that the source of the mouse was a box of Asian candy that was underneath our futon in our extra room that was supposed to have been sent to her sister as a gift. And I wonder if it's almost as though, since that first mouse was her fault, that I have decided that no mice are my responsibility. But mostly I've just decided that I can't. There's no way I can do gross stuff.
Well, here's what I've learned about mice. We literally have a 0% success rate of capturing a mouse with a snap trap or a glue trap or any of the... We did a humane trap. Literally never caught a mouse in places like the garage where we knew there were truly mice. So this whole mouse trap industry to me seems like a complete sham. I think the peanut butter lobby has gotten to the to the mouse trap industry to convince the world that mice love peanut butter. I think that's a total sham.
You use creamy or crunchy?
No mice are being trapped here.
I've got a recommendation for you.
Yes. From the guy who just said, I don't do gross things. I can't wait to hear this recommendation.
Just you wait. Back in Boston, when I used to see that mouse, when I was up to...
Oh, you mean Mouseville, USA?
Mm-hmm. I decided that I would name this mouse Peter. And that way, there was only one mouse. We weren't infested with mice. There was just one mouse. He was almost a pet. And that's my recommendation.
Did Jennifer ever say, the only thing you have to fear is fear itself?
No, because I wasn't in the room. Because I ran to the other room and jumped onto the wall.
She said, what she actually said was, Adam, the only thing you have to fear... Adam. Yeah. All right, so I have one other short one. I was helping to clean out the shed at our cooperative daycare preschool that we're about to re-enter. My daughter went there, and it was a great 2 years, and then we had a year off, and now my son's about to head in there. But it's very involved, and I was part of a group clearing out ye old shed with every manner of ridiculous item in it, and I found an old weed eater that was like super heavy and like had like this aluminum piping, and this is the note that I quickly scribbled to myself on my way to the dumpster: old weed eater. There's probably a Facebook group for weed eater enthusiasts who would really like this thing. Can't say I wasn't inspired by our forays into stationary Facebook groups, but I was like, I'm about to toss this old thing, but I bet I could find a Facebook group for old weed eaters.
Weed eater enthusiasts.
Someone right now is having a spirited conversation about the benefits of the Weed Whacker brand from 1987 versus 1984 and all the, disastrous changes they made in 85.
Well, Ted, have you seen the new Weed Eater Volumes edition?
So sick of this these primary colors. Really prefer the models with the smaller gauge plastic wiring.
Why don't they have a firmer core on these plastic wiring?
Really regret subscribing to this quarterly Weed Eater.
Quarterly Weed Eater. Tired of waiting for the new Weed Eater to be announced.
All right. Speaking of obsessives, Andy Welfley recently announced some big news for Plumbago, the zine, which is, of course, the pencil-oriented zine that the fine fellows at the Erasable Podcast put out. The first thing I want to say is,
Ted, can I interrupt you? I've got a very controversial opinion about this zine.
Well, then the zine is doing its job, but please present your controversial opinion.
I will not read this zine unless there is a short piece of memoir about the hurricane in Houston.
Then, Adam, I'm going to send you the link to pre-order this thing because you're in luck.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think you heard me. I will not unless there's a piece of memoir about the hurricane that I'm pretty sure was named Harvey.
Again, I'll be clicking send on that pre-order link. That's right. Yours truly will have a piece in the edition number 4. This is presuming some sort of editorial coup does not take place. Of course, I have no control, but this is what I've been led to believe. I've been excited to... I put in a submission idea to Andy and Harry to write up a little something about my experience in Hurricane Harvey with a little bit of a stationary pocket notebook lens. Don't really want to say too much more than that, but I was excited that they were interested in the idea. And,
frankly, you've said too much, and I don't know why anyone would have led you to have discussed it at all.
but they did announce the pre-order. I've already pre-ordered my edition.
I did too.
Save a couple bucks. Do it now. Kind of give them a little sense of the early numbers by putting in your pre-order. But the last edition, I mean, talk about impressive. This thing is like Andy does such an amazing job that it has almost surpassed the moniker zine at this point. I mean, this is a true journal is what I would really call it. The cover on the last issue was beautiful. Just a wide variety of submissions of every kind that are fun and interesting, illustrations throughout. I mean, this thing, that's part of why I'm geeked to be a part of it, is that, like, they just do a really good job, and it's a really cool product. And it's one of those things where you want to be a reader of this thing. It's a really cool outcome from a subculture that we're a part of, and it's worth taking a look at.
Let's have a little zine talk, Ted. You were in the Wes Ander zine, weren't you?
I was in the Wes Ander zine. Wow. I can't believe you remember that, Adam. That touches me. That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Well, okay. I don't know what to say to that. You wrote about Rushmore, right?
What?
You wrote about Rushmore?
Gosh, I honestly can't even remember. I might have written about how it was filmed at my high school.
That's what you did. That's exactly what you did. And then, have you been involved in any other zines?
I started a zine in graduate school called Extra Dave because my friend Dave was an extra on the movie Mr. 3000, and he spent one of our evenings together, one of our wine nights in graduate school, regaling us with tales of being an extra on the Bernie Mac vehicle, Mr. 3000. So I called it Extra Dave. I think we might have produced 2 copies. I would categorize that as an actual zine because it was crappy and stapled together on photo paper and stuff. I don't know if I have any. What's your zine experience?
Well, I've got 2. I don't know if you remember, but in 2003 I found a bunch of very old postcards that were written by a businessman in the 50s back to his office, and I reproduced it as a close to 100-page zine. Wow. And I might have the photos. At some point, I scanned them all recently.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And actually, back in the summer of 1997, you and I, one night, were involved in a zine at Northwestern University's Zine Night, organized by, I can't believe I'm pulling this name, Chip Rowe, guy who was responsible for a book on zines and also the Playboy advice column. They let him be one of our educators. And if I recall, what I did was I had, my page of the zine was transcriptions of prank phone calls.
Glorious.
The Ur-web.
The Ur-web. God, how could I ever learn what my... Did I make a contribution?
Well, actually, as I'm saying it now, I think that maybe it was that zine night was optional. Like, you had a few things you could choose from that day or that night, so it's possible that you were not involved in that zine.
Oh, come on. Can I go back in time and shove myself into that zine class? God knows what other dumb thing I had selected instead of that.
Probably sports journalism.
Chip Rowe, like, if I recall.
I don't know.
Chip Rowe, the listening audience will be thrilled to hear, also took us to, what, four of us out onto the rocks.
Nope, different guy.
Different guy, son of a
bitch. But tell that close story enough for sure.
Oh, that was a guy. I'm going to
say this guy's name was Joe.
Let's say Joe. Let's leave it at that. Journalism professor. We were high school journalism summer camp students, and he wanted to do a little bit of mentoring, which, good for him. Yeah, I feel like he went above and beyond the call of duty, but he took us, our little crew of four dudes, out to the jetty out into Lake Michigan in Evanston, Illinois, at Northwestern, and played the Who's Quadrophenia for us out over the lake in the dark of the night, to expose us to whatever magic he felt like was a part of that rock opera.
I mean, just imagine, just think about the degree to which this would not be allowed today. First off.
Totally. Even as I said the word exposed, yeah. I felt like. But in fact, it was one of the more memorable things of my adolescence, I would say.
Yep. Right. First off, it's The Who, with all of that now maybe implies. Second off, we all went out and sat on the rocks in the dark by ourselves. One of us had to buy batteries for the radio. And that's a double album, man. Like, how long were we out there?
I don't know. But every time I hear it's not often, but every time I hear the throngs of the chords that open that thing, I'm taken back, man, to out on the jetty at night. And that guy, that professor, just, all he wanted to do was just show us a little something, a little corner of the world that we hadn't experienced before.
Here's the name. This is the name in my head right now. Tell me if this sounds right. Joe Pirro.
Yeah, but we're going to cut that out because I don't think we should actually say the name.
He didn't do anything wrong. What are you talking about?
I don't know, man.
Is that the right name?
Yeah, that's the right name. But enough of our explorations down memory lane. Make sure you become a part of this thing. Go to Plumbago, Plumbago.xyz. You can find the link to pre-order. We're a part of it. You should be a part of it. Jump on it. It's exciting. It's fun. $8. What better do you got to do with your $8 besides buy a quarter of a Blackwing Volumes edition?
Ted, when you say we're a part of it, what do you mean by, who's the we exactly?
The Take Note podcast community.
There you go. Maybe? Okay. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Hey, man, you should have submitted something. That's not my problem.
I don't do things.
You're too busy launching your own business or whatever.
Okay.
All right. So I've had a fun last couple of weeks having beers with dad friends one of whom is one of our most loyal listeners. What's up, Ryan? He likes to send me alternative titles for each edition, which one day, probably pretty soon, I'm going to publish in an actual blog post, because when you put them all together, it's like poetry in motion. Beers with Ryan and another friend, who I didn't even have to coerce them, but just through the sheer charisma that I bring to a conversation over beers, they both bought their first ever editions of Field Notes.
Really?
And that was pretty rewarding. Those texts when they send over a pic of the cover of their first one, it's pretty great. And yeah, I didn't even have to say, here, go to this store, pick up this. Well, they did it of their own accord. So that was really fun and speaks to the contagiousness of these ideas. And, I was hanging out with Ryan this weekend and we came up with an idea to, we both like to play guitar. He's far better than I am. Came up with an idea to have a playlist that we could both work on, to sort of memorize the same set of songs so that when we got together, we could play them together and just be coordinated. And he had that moment where I saw that he wanted to start scribbling down ideas, and I just said, hey, if only you had some perfectly sized little piece of paper that you could just whip out and say, and he did, and he had it in his back pocket. It was just really fun. But one of the moments I enjoyed most was at the end of our families went out to the country. And so at the end of the weekend, we wanted to sync up our two lists. So we did a Field Notes notebook sync up, which is, if you haven't done this before, you hold out your Field Notes. Each of you holds out your Field Notes and you just give them a little rub together. Just
what are you?
Just rub them. Just a little.
Wow, you didn't even use the USB port.
Just let them kiss. What? Just get a little smooch. That'll get you synced right up. So, kudos to Brian and Ryan for taking the leap. Those are my second and third dad buddies to get involved. My first, Alok, was a while ago. I can't remember if I bought him his first set as a gift, but to this day he's carrying Field Notes around. So I'm pretty much ready to launch my Houston area Field Notes franchise.
That's good. You should become a reseller. I think you've made a smart decision in trying to get your dad friends into notebooks as well, or maybe not even trying. I make the mistake of forcing them on my children. It's just a little less satisfying. You get the higher potential for satisfaction, but less likely to achieve it.
Well, I realize, of course, you're making light of the scenario, but I think what is satisfying is when you don't have to try that hard, when it's just you're just sharing your interest in it, your excitement, and that's what rubs off. That is actually when it's fun. And it's fun to talk to someone who is open to the idea and who does it because they think it's interesting as well, not because they're doing a favor to you by, whatever, I'll try. Oh, I went to Office Depot and grabbed a 5-star and I'll see, it's more about, let me see what you're up to. Awesome.
You think these dad buds are ever talking to you again after they hear this touching sinking Field Notes talk? You think that's the end of it?
You don't need to be jealous of them.
Oh, I'm very jealous. Is it that obvious?
We'll do some sinking. We'll do some sinking. Don't you worry, bud. We'll sink up. I know it's hard. But when we see each other next, I say we walk towards each other with our notebooks extended. We'll start with a sink. We'll start with a sink and we'll end with a sink. And let's do it again next week. What do you say, bud?
I don't know what's happening here.